any major change in their normal behaviour. So a reluctance to go to school, an increase in secretiveness, being more withdrawn, changes in appetite and in sleep, and just a generally low mood, feeling miserable most of the day, most of the time.
What's the first step a parent should take if they do think there is a problem?
Well, if your child is struggling with bullying, the first thing is to listen to their narrative, to find out what it is that's been going on, preferably without interrupting. The idea is to be as empathic and calm as possible, to validate what your child has basically said to you, and ask them what they would like to have happen now, before you leap in and make some suggestions.
Hmm. Do you go to the school, or is it you wait and talk to your child about that first?
Well, if the child has no objection to you going to the school, then, of course, that's the second step. And I always think you should make an appointment, you should go there. If it's cyberbullying, provide them with the evidence. Make sure that you have a paper trail so that, A, there is a record of the meeting and what actually took place, and then expect them to do something about it. What parents have to realise is that all schools have a legal obligation to make sure that your child has a safe environment in which to learn. And a breach of that duty of care is taken very seriously by the courts. So we need to be very clear that there is a legal obligation on behalf of the school to take this seriously.
And is that different when we're talking about cyberbullying? Because obviously that could be happening completely outside of school hours, off school premises, maybe not even from children at the same school.
The courts have ruled that it's the school's business if that cyberbullying is carried out by someone at the same school, because it's obviously going to impact on the feelings of safety that child will have, and their perhaps reluctance, might explain their reluctance to want to go to school. If it is a child from another school, or in fact, as is quite common, an anonymous person, then the complaint has to be made either to the eSafety Children's Commissioner or your local police.
Can they take any action when you're talking about an anonymous bully?
Well, they have the capacity through a range of marvellous technology now to identify certainly which computer was used or which phone was used. Mm. And from there, it's not rocket science to figure out who's done what.
What are there things that a parent who is probably going to be very emotionally upset about their child being bullied, are there things that they definitely should not do to tackle the problem?
Parents shouldn't intervene on behalf of the child. They shouldn't ring up the parents of the alleged perpetrator. Mm. Really, we expect the parents to work constructively with the school and to basically abide by the school's instructions. If, in fact, they get to the point where they feel the school hasn't taken it seriously, then, of course, there is always the right to appeal to the Department of Education and ultimately the minister. And I know the Department of Education in Victoria deals with many of these complaints each year. So you shouldn't feel that if you're not getting the bang for your buck from talking to the school, that that's all there is. You must take it higher.
Are some kids more at risk of being bullied than others?
I'm afraid so. If you are different, you might be too tall, too short, too fat, too thin. You might have freckles, you might have red hair, you might have a speech impediment or speak with a foreign accent. You may in fact have a different skin colour. Unfortunately, because we're dealing with a peak of bullying around transition from grade 6 to grade 7, many of those children don't have the cognitive empathy that we would wish, hasn't developed yet, and therefore being different is, in fact, not a good look. And it may, in fact, invite this sort of unwelcome attention.
Is there data that shows us the link between suicide and bullying in young people?
That the vast majority of young people that take their own lives have a mental illness, and the most common mental illness is depression. We also know that kids who are victimised, particularly for a long period of time, are more likely to develop depression. So there are many risk factors that lead to suicide. Undoubtedly, bullying is one, because it is much more likely to create a young person with depression.